This year is a new year. And one of the things about this time is, again, we look at it, there's got to be some good things happening. That's what we're hoping for and trusting for, because last year was crazy. Now, I want you to think back to January 16th, 2020, which would have been a Sunday morning. You probably can't even remember what was going on, but I'll tell you, it was a Sunday. Whether you were here or not, I can't tell. I don't remember whether all of you were here or not. But we let a lookout for the year. It was the year, I think the week before, we had licensed crystal, where promise was out there. And then it got messed up. So if I was to sit here, I mean, when we're standing there last year and looking at the year, we have lots of, you know, hope and dreams and good things. Then we come to this year and we're on January 17th and I'm saying, what do you think is going to happen this year? And probably all of us are going to do that. I don't know, I don't think I'm going to commit to that because last year was so crazy, I don't want to say anything, right? We don't really know what's going to happen. In fact, every year we don't. But this year, you know what, we're coming in a little more cautiously, if I could say that. And one of the things with all the craziness that's been going on is this the end times? And of course, we know every day we're closer to the end, the day of coming of the Lord, praise God. But we don't know when the end is coming. And Jesus said, we don't know, or he himself said that he didn't know, and that the angels in heaven don't know, that only the Father knows. And for those of you who need the scripture to look that up, that's Matthew 24:36. Now, I'm coming to this chapter. We're going to take a look at Matthew 24 today, and we're going to close in on a section. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Matthew 24, whether it's on your phone or in your hands, paper. But I'm going to be honest, I didn't put it up all on the screen for you today. And you know what? I've got to move this over because I feel like I'm going to fall off. So excuse me a second. There we go. Just I was teetering. That's no good. Want solid ground. So one of the things when we look at this chapter, how many of you have ever read some parts of the Bible and they're a little tough to read? Not as in complicated, but it's hard to listen to that message there and kind of go, ooh. And this is one of those areas in Scripture. And I'm going to kind of set the scene for you. Jesus has just been in the temple. And there was a gathering of people there, and there was the religious leaders and teachers. And in front of all these people, he starts speaking the woes over Jerusalem and the teachers and that. And he's, you know, that's got to tick some people off. I think there was a few people there that may have been offended at what he said. But I'm not going to read all he said. And then as he leaves the temple and he tells his disciples that the temple, there isn't going to be one stone left on the other. But of course, we know he was referring to his body, not actually the temple of Jerusalem, but his own body. And they end up at the Mount of Olives, and we're going to start verse 3 there. It says, now has he, and that's Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things when will these things be? Again, referring to the temple and that. What is the age of your coming and the age of and the end of the age? Now I'm reading from the New King James Version, so you're going to have a different wording there. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence. What do we got going on now? And earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, or birth pains is what the NIV says. Then they will deliver you up for tribulation or persecution, NIV says that way, and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. And the NIV again will say, will turn away from faith, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And this is because lawlessness will abound, and love for many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And then we jump down to verse 22. It says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And the word elect there means those who are believers or Christians, the chosen ones. So we need to look here that Jesus is speaking some good advice to us. And one of the things that he says in here, and it's the title of my message this morning, let me turn this on. He talks about being offended. And many will be offended. And I want to break down all of the verses 10 to 14, I think we're at, and take a look at this. So first Jesus says this. He says, take heed that no one deceives you. And verse 6 says, see that you are not troubled. Both of those words, see and heed, mean the same thing. It means to take a look around, take a look at the Word of God, and take a look at your self-talk and your self-thought, and direct your mind. So when Jesus says, see to it that you are not troubled, he's not saying, I'm not going to make it. You need to see it. I put in place these things. You need to heed. You need to see. You need to direct your thoughts and your mind. You need to pull up out of these troubled waters, these troubling things that are stirring in your heart. And I'm going to get you to stop for just a second and go back to that promise that you got from communion. What was the word? What was the encouragement that you're holding on to? What was your what's your takeaway today? That's what pulls you up out of the darkness, out of the troubling waters, out of the troublesome thing. So see that you are not troubled, because we have a great promise in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit in us, right? And Jesus continues to talk about being deceived by false prophets. You know, that's one of the things that kind of like, if the elect can be deceived, Lord. Wow. But there is, he gives us a breakdown, or if I can put, he shows us the digression that happens. Verse 10, it says, many will be offended. Have you ever been offended? Yep. I think all of us have. We can get offended by so many things. It says, many will be offended. The NIV puts it, many will turn from their faith. When we get offended, we turn. In fact, that's actually, we're going to get to that in a second, what that word means. What do we get offended at? Well, sorry. We get offended at, I don't think this is up here. We get offended at sinners, people who are involved in wicked things and the things that are going on. Don't you get offended? That includes it, politics and all the stuff and all the crazy. We get offended at that. We get offended at brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't they know what they're doing? You know, we do. We get offended. And in fact, Proverbs 19:11 says this, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. So if you're offended, the scripture tells us it's to your glory to overlook it. What's another thing we get offended at? You know, we get offended at the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Think about Jesus when the crowds had followed him after he fed the 5,000, and then they follow him again. They want to see the miracle again. And he says, you're only following me for this. And then he says, unless you drink my blood and eat my body, my flesh, you'll not be saved. And they got offended at that because they didn't have understanding. They went by what they got offended, and many stopped following him because of offense. How about being offended at the Holy Spirit? I'm offended at the move of the Holy Spirit. Some people are offended when people speak in tongues. Some people are offended when there's prophetic word or a word of knowledge. Some people are offended when there's the presence of God that caused people to fall over, call it slain in the Spirit. Some people are offended by those things. Offended by the Holy Spirit. From Luke 7:23 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus says this, blessed, joyful, spiritually favored is he who does not take offense at all. And Jesus is talking about himself. And then we get offended at persecution. We can be offended at, where is God? How many of you heard this? Well, if there really was a God, the terrible things that happened in the world wouldn't happen. We get offended at God because of persecution, because of what's going on in the world. And what happens when persecution comes our way? Where are you, God? We get offended. He's not where we thought. He's not doing it the way we thought he'd do it. Here's that huge Strong's Concordance definition of the word offend. I don't know if you can see all that, but I'm putting it up there in that small print, but I'll tell you, there's things. It talks about offense being a stumbling block. That your being offended creates a stumbling block. That it entices you to sin. It causes, it causes a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom they ought to trust and obey. It causes them to fall away. It goes on to talk about not only that, but your offense becomes a stumbling block to you as you trip over it. In Proverbs 19:18, this is from the Amplified, it says, and brothers, a brother offended is harder to win over than a fortified city. And contentions are like bars of a castle. When we allow offense to come into our lives, we build walls. We build bars, and we won't hear. We won't hear what the other person is saying, and we won't hear what the Lord is saying. Offenses create walls, strongholds, and again, eventually causing them to turn away from God. Second Corinthians 10:3-4 says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. So we have a weapon when we're dealing with these strongholds, when we're dealing with these walls that we built. We have a weapon, but do we choose to pick it up? The stronghold here is defined as anything on which one relies, of an argument and reasoning by which a disputant endeavors to fortify his opinion and defend it against his opponent. Have you ever found yourself justifying and justifying and justifying your anger and your offense at somebody? That's what is going on. You're creating a stronghold. Strongholds separate families. Strongholds separate you from God, and that you'll turn aside from him. If he's not saying, you've got this fortified wall, and he's not saying what you want to hear, if he's not in agreement with you, you are establishing your heart in something. And you're starting on a digression. And creating for yourself a path where you can be deceived. You see, an offended heart is the breeding ground for deception. Because a wandering sheep is fodder for the wolves. They're looking for them. They're looking for the wandering sheep, the one who's offended. And the false prophets, they'll isolate them from the herd, take them over this way, and you can be deceived. On to the next one. Oops, sorry. So the first area that we look at is that many will be offended. So that's one thing we want to watch out. And here's the next step. When you're offended, you begin to betray one another. And when we begin to betray one another, what is really happening is when I betray someone, I'm seeking my benefit or my protection at the expense of the one I have a relationship with. So not only is that, can that be family or friends or neighbors or whatever, but it's also with God. How long did it take Judas to betray Jesus? Excuse me. The question is, was he not offended? Did he not live in a lot of offense? And even one point, he's offended at the woman who's pouring the perfume out on Jesus' feet. He's offended because really his heart is wicked, because he could have saved that perfume to sell and get money so that he could dip out, because he was dipping out of the treasury. Right? His heart was already on a path that was being deceived. He was right there with Jesus. And he was being deceived by his own offense. You know what? I'm going to take you back to your promise from the Lord and from communion this morning. And I want to stop here. And I know we're kind of hanging mid, but I think where I'm going is going to take more time than we have this morning. And I want to give it proper due. But I want you to, again, I challenge you, go to Matthew 24, verses 8 to 14, and read through it and take hold for yourself. But we're going to come back, and I'm preaching in 2 weeks, and I'll finish this word. But what's your promise? Because I don't want to end on a negative. I want to end on a positive. Because Jesus is the positive, right? We don't have to stay here, but Jesus is the promise. And I feel it's important for us to do due diligence to the scriptures that are hard. But there is the answer, and he is the answer. He is the truth. He is the life. And so as we're in these different times and these struggles, I just encourage you. This morning we took communion. This morning the bread and the blood. The body broken for us. Cup of the new covenant. Take that promise with you today, even as you read hard words, but know what Jesus has done for us, who he is. We have this Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we want to pull ourselves up out of those troubling things. Heed that no one deceives you. See that you are not troubled. If you're feeling troubled about what's going on in the world, connect with Jesus. That stuff's going to keep going on. And I'm going to be honest, we know that it's going to get darker. But Jesus says, see that you do not get troubled.